So our next presenter is Yong Wang from Texas A&M University, and the title of his presentation is Descent Simulations to Test the Influence of Nitrogen Fertilization in Bioenergy Sorghum Production.
Thank you for the introduction. Good morning, everyone. My name is Yong Wang, as introduced, and I'm from Texas A&M University, working with Dr. Fugendo and Dr. Frank Hans in Department of Soil and Crop Sciences. And it's a great pleasure to stand here and present part of my research, which is titled here, Descent Simulations to Test the Influence of Nitrogen Fertilization in Bioenergy Sorghum Production. Bioenergy is considered to have the potential of reducing the dependence on traditional fossil fuel sources, and also has the potential of mitigating greenhouse gas emissions. Increasing interest in bioenergy sorghum has stimulated the interest in biofuel crop production. So bioenergy sorghum is one of those promising biofuel crops due to its high biomass potential, high energy productivity, good fertilizer and water use efficiency, as well as high genetic tractability. Crop production needs fertilizers, especially nitrogen, which is a major yield-determining nutrient. At the same time, nitrogen has the capability of stabilizing soil organic matter. However, nitrogen fertilizer can increase the greenhouse gas emissions. In particular, nitrous oxide emitted from nitrogen fertilizer use is a major contributor of anthropogenic nitrous oxide emissions in the world. So we would like to look at the nitrogen fertilization effects in bioenergy sorghum production system, mainly on above-ground biomass carbon, soil organic carbon, and the greenhouse gas emissions. Side experiment is very effective to look at the short-term effects in a small place, but it's time-consuming and very expensive to look at the long-term effects in a relatively larger area, say the whole Texas. To solve this problem, process-based biogeochemical models would be an option. Descent is one of these biogeochemical models which could be used to simulate soil temperature and water cycles, plant production, soil organic matter and nutrient cycles, as well as greenhouse gas emissions. So this is a general model flowchart of the descent. Let's start from net primary production, which is limited by nitrogen input, soil water and temperature, and atmospheric carbon dioxide concentration. The NPP can be simulated by descent model and divided into different plant components like leaves, branches, and the roots. And then when the plant components die, the dead plant material can be decomposed by soil microorganisms and transformed into different soil organic matter pools. Different soil organic matter pools have different turnover rates and continue to be decomposed by soil microorganisms. And during the microbial decomposition, heterotrophic carbon dioxide is released as well as mineralized nitrogen. Associated with nitrogen inputs from outside, soil mineral nitrogen can be either uptaken by net primary production or lost as nitrogen gas through nitrification and denitrification. From the dotted arrows in the flowchart, we can see the soil temperature and the soil water are the two main environmental drivers of the whole model system. So the model performance will test in simulating soil temperature and water content above ground biomass carbon, soil organic carbon, and the greenhouse gas fluxes. The field observations for the model use was collected at Texas A&M AgriLife Research Farm near College Station in 2010 and 2011, and the treatment selected was nitrogen fertilization at different rates, 280 kilograms per hectare versus 0 kilograms per hectare. Here are some pictures showing when we collected the above ground biomass, soil organic carbon, and greenhouse gas emissions. And this is a picture showing when the sorghum reached maturity after about 4 months of planting. Now let's take a look at the results. This picture shows the soil observed and simulated soil temperature flux from the beginning of growing season in 2010 to the end of growing season in 2011. In this figure and all the following figures, the red color represents the simulated results, and the blue color represents the simulated color, and the red color represents observations. From this figure, we can see the Dyson model can simulate the soil temperature fluxes pretty well with the overall R-square of 0.89. It's difficult to observe in the figure, but both simulated and observed soil temperature data results were slightly higher in treatment without nitrogen fertilization treatment. This picture shows the soil water content in the growing season in 2011. The model can simulate the soil water content reasonably well with overall R-square of 0.67. The same as soil temperature fluxes, both observed and simulated soil water content were higher in treatment without nitrogen fertilization. This figure is about above ground biomass carbon in two different nitrogen rates in 2010 and 2011. From this figure, we can see in both years, 2010 and 2011, higher above ground biomass carbon were observed in both field measurements and simulated results. But the model seemed to underestimate the above ground biomass in treatment without nitrogen fertilization. This figure is about soil organic carbon content into nitrogen fertilization rates and in 2 years. In 2010, there's nearly no soil organic carbon difference between nitrogen fertilization treatment and zero nitrogen treatment. However, when it comes to 2011, higher soil organic carbon content was observed in nitrogen fertilization treatment for both simulated and observed treatment observed results. And higher soil organic carbon was found in 2011 compared to 2010. No matter nitrogen fertilization or not. This figure shows the daily carbon dioxide fluxes from the beginning of the growing season in 2010 to the end of fallow season in 2011. It's a little bit difficult to observe the treatment difference, but we can still see both the observed and the simulated results showed higher carbon dioxide daily flux in nitrogen fertilization treatment compared to zero nitrogen treatment. And the daily carbon dioxide flux pattern can also be detected in seasonal change and different management practices. Say, daily carbon dioxide fluxes were higher in growing season compared to fallow seasons, and daily carbon dioxide were higher when fertilization or irrigation were applied. And the problem is the model seemed to miss some high flux during the growing season. Nitrous oxide, daily nitrous oxide fluxes were more sporadic and unpredictable, but still we can see from the figure that the daily carbon dioxide pattern affected by treatment, higher fluxes in nitrogen fertilization treatment compared to zero nitrogen treatment, and high fluxes in growing season compared to fallows, and high fluxes after irrigation and the fertilization were applied. When we accumulated the daily flux and take a look at the annual carbon dioxide emissions, the treatment difference is more obvious. From this chart, we can see for both observed and simulated annual carbon dioxide emissions, higher values were obtained in nitrogen fertilization treatment compared to zero nitrogen treatment. But the model underestimated a little bit of the annual carbon dioxide emissions compared to the observation measurements, mainly because it missed some high flux during the growing season. Annual nitrous oxide emissions show the similar pattern as carbon dioxide emissions, with higher values observed in nitrogen fertilization treatment for both observed and simulated results compared to zero nitrogen treatment. So we can get the conclusion that the descent could favorably simulate the soil temperature and water fluxes with overall R square of 0.7 and 0.9, justifying the model validation in simulating soil environmental conditions and further simulations of soil carbon and nutrient dynamics. The performance of the model in simulating above ground biomass was reasonably well with R square of 0.6, but the model tended to underestimate above ground biomass when no nitrogen fertilization was applied. Soil organic carbon reflecting nitrogen fertilization and annual variation for the same fertilization rate was reasonably simulated, with R square of 0.57. In the end, the model captured the main patterns of both greenhouse gas emissions, carbon dioxide and nitrous oxide fluxes, and annual emissions affected by treatment, nitrogen fertilization versus zero nitrogen fertilization, and management practices like irrigation and seasonal change, growing season compared to fallow season, with the overall R-square of 0.7 for annual carbon dioxide and R-square of 0.84 for annual nitrous oxide emissions. But the model tended to underestimate the carbon dioxide and nitrous oxide fluxes for both, especially for the high growing season fluxes. That's all my presentation, Bob. Thank you. Questions? Yes, please.
I didn't understand the chamber that you didn't mention how many chambers you have in the field, where they were placed, and what was the methodology of those chambers?
We placed one chamber in each plot, and we have three replications for each treatment, and we measured the greenhouse gas flux weekly during the growing season and less frequently during the fallow. Yes.
In the second year, just looking at the observed data, it was interesting to see there was very little nitrogen response in the productivity.
Is that above ground biomass?
Yeah. And do you think that's due to
the observed results or the simulated?
Is it due to maybe some residual nitrogen in the system, or do you have any measurements of nitrate profiles or something like that?
I think the reason why the observed results in above ground biomass carbon in 2011, you mean zero nitrogen? Compared to You mean this one compared to this one?
The second year, 2011.
2011.
We've already gone 1 year with zero in emissions, or sorry, zero in applications, and so you see a yield penalty there.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the second year, you still have a fairly high yield.
Yes, that's
no nitrogen response.
Yes, that's a very good question. We analyzed the results and found this question. The model gives us lower above ground biomass in both years in zero nitrogen fertilization compared to nitrogen fertilization, but the above ground biomass yield in 2011 was pretty good, I think, because we didn't account for the seedling rates and also the pest in the 2010. So maybe those are the reasons why we didn't get relatively higher above ground biomass in this year.
Okay, we're going to have to end the presentation. Let's thank our speaker one more time.